Welcome to the Powercast with Charlie Johnson. I'm one of the world's leading fitness and transformation coaches. I'm going to be providing you with the tools to build your ultimate body and mind.
It's an absolute pleasure today to have a great friend, I don't know if I'd call you business affiliate, but a great friend, James Colwell from the legendary Tough Wraps on the podcast. So thank you very much for coming on board.
How you doing, guys? Just to introduce myself, James Colwell here. I don't know if we call you business affiliates yet, mate, but we definitely work together. Yes. But the good friend is a tick in the box. I know we've known each other for a long time now, and how lives are kind of changing as we evolve.
It's funny, isn't it? Because we both met in the melting pot that is Physique Warehouse in Surrey. I think neither of us were particularly involved in the fitness industry to any great length, probably at the time. I guess we probably first crossed paths. And it's amazing how both of our journeys have sort of progressed from there, like, albeit slightly different routes.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You know, I do remember that. You know, it's probably 5 or 6 years ago, actually, when you actually do the numbers and you're kind of like both your abodes of life and just trying to get in shape or whatever your goals are. And 6 years later, you're back doing a kind of like this podcast thing as yourself, as a fitness online coach and kind of entrepreneur. And I'm running a business that's kind of going a little bit global at the moment. So,
as the Gary Vee side hustle. So, for anyone who doesn't know, James, who are you? What do you do? Like, obviously, you're based in Surrey as well. What is your background?
So, a little bit of a strange one, really. Like, if you consider that we own a strength brand, my background and still full time job is I work in aerodynamic performance development for McLaren on their F1 program. Which maybe is a bit of a mouthful to start with, but essentially we try and make the car go faster without making it giving the engine more horsepower. So the dark art of aero, and that's what sort of absorbs an awful lot of my time in my day to day outside of the fitness industry. So, but I've been doing that for 15 years now, actually. Jesus.
Crazy.
That's a long time in motor racing. That's why I've gone so grey.
Stress. And like, obviously you're very versed, like you're traveling the world with that a hell of a lot and like a lot of like networking, things like that, which I imagine probably the experiences you've learned from that have taken you well into what you're doing on the side now as well.
Well, absolutely. I spent, I was lucky enough in my career so far to have 3 years on the race team where we traveled around to every Grand Prix that we took part in. I was a mechanic on Lewis's car for a little bit, actually, and then on Kevin Magnussen's car, and finished up with a couple of races with Alonso. And obviously, you kind of takes you to some fairly high profile places and some not so high profile places. But you understand the importance of relationships with people, and you realise that business doesn't stop. It doesn't matter if you move a business from country to country. The same people do the same work and the same output is required to generate the goal, which is, in my case, getting a car on a racetrack at the time. So it does translate to what you're doing in life in terms of running your own business as well. You know you need to constantly put that effort in. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're away for the weekend or whether you're, on holiday, there is still stuff that needs to happen in the background to make it go forward, I guess.
It's I think we were briefly talking about this before we went live on the podcast, like the more you succeed in life, the busier you get, and it just becomes a real fast paced whirlwind. And you get so used to that fast pace that you almost can't sit and take note of really what's going on. Like, I was having not a wind, but I was just saying that I find it very difficult to, like, if I go out for a meal, if it's one of those meals that drags on for like 2-3 hours, I get really agitated and a bit arsy towards the end, where I just want to get on and like with my day and do something else because I've sort of tick that box of eating. I want to go and like conquer the world and do whatever I want to do. Whereas sometimes you do need to try and make yourself maybe sometimes try and relax a little bit. But it's easier said than done with like probably both yourself and me are like type A personalities, are very driven in what you want to achieve. You have to often really push yourself in terms of work ethic to try and achieve those things.
Yeah, it's interesting actually. I think the focus almost shifts slightly. I think a lot of the time if you've got a normal 9-to-5, whatever anyone does for a living, the focus is you need to get through your day and then you want to do what you want to do for yourself in the evening and you want to relax or you want to watch a bit of telly or, you want to go to the gym or do whatever. But if you started a kind of side hustle and you've got a side business going on as well, then those hours in the day available to run and drive your own business become some of the most valuable there are. So if they're being taken up with stuff that you don't initially think adds value to your day, it can create this kind of anxiety in yourself to like, oh, you know, I need to finish this as quick as possible to be able to get back to what my main focus is on today. So I completely understand that kind of anxiety a little bit. You know, I don't think it's necessarily good for you all the time. You know, it tires you out, but it's very real.
I think it's something you just need to be with, like anything, as long as you're aware of it, you can sort of control it. And like, I'm very aware of how I feel and why I feel a certain way. So I know what to expect. Almost the people around me know what to expect. And I like they know what my lifestyle is a bit like now. So they understand what I'm going through. Not these good, as bad things. I sound like it's horrendous, but it's where you're very busy. You want to try like keep loads of things. Like you just have a lot on your plate that you're trying to sort of manage all the time. So the same to yourself. We talked about your schedule at the moment. We've got going on the next few days. So where do you take you off to with Tough Wraps next few days? Then PCA finals.
Yeah, we got kindly invited to the PCA British finals in Hull. Ryan Alexander, who owns the PCA, we've known him for a few years now, and he kindly invited us up to bring our kind of body power presentation stand. And so we're kind of supporting that this weekend, Saturday, Sunday. So I've just been frantically rushing around trying to organise a van and pack some stock and get everything I need in one place to then go and worry about who's coming with us tomorrow and are the hotels okay and all the bits and pieces you completely forget to think about, that when you get to a show, all these vendors are there and it looks all nice and shiny, but what went on in the background to achieve it? And actually, it's just loads of late nights. So
yeah, it's ticking all the small boxes. And obviously, like, we obviously won't go too long about sort of side hustle side of things, but for, like, obviously I did the same thing and I left my full-time job as a managing estate agent for 10 years to go pursue what I love now. Like, for me, I look back now when I wake up in the morning, sometimes I'm a bit tired and I'm like, oh, like dragging myself around. I was like, I used to get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, go do cardio, go to work all day, train again, and then work all evening doing my own shit as well. And now I think, well, you've got it so easy now. You can, like, not easy, but I can do what I want and structure things how I want. And I think sometimes you take for granted. But I think that's why it's very good in terms of like life and training in general, is almost to push yourself to the extreme so that when you come back to like more the midline, you then know that you've got another gear there if you ever needed it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I completely understand that. And actually, it's a slight transition that we're going through at the moment. My other half, Laura, who runs the business with us in the UK, obviously we have partners and directors in the United States, but slightly different company layouts. But Laura's now she's migrating from her full-time job into a full-time role at Tough Wraps now. So we've kind of adopted the risk of a full financial salary, and she's very much said that the days that she works from home and can pop out to the gym in her free time, although she's got a lot of work to do, are much less stressful for her mentally because of the kind of enjoyment she's got at the end of the day. Like, she knows she's added value to something that we own, rather than driving somebody else's company that doesn't necessarily understand her worth to them, if you see what I mean.
100%. You're just it's a bit of a corny saying, but a slave to the machine. What would you say to anyone who's umming and ahhing about trying to start something on the side, like both of my, I've done, obviously you currently do as well?
So
if you've got any nuggets of information, like, one thing I would say is it won't be an overnight success. So whatever it is, you have to be very, very patient.
I think also you have to try not to get all the stars to align in one go. You know, I speak to a lot of people about it and they say, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and then I'm going to get this guy on board, and once we've done this, then we're going to launch it. And then when you actually discuss that, that's like 12 months time, and, you know, a lot can change in 12 months. So if you've got something you want to consider, you just need to start. And you're going to get it wrong, and you're going to probably make some of the slightly wrong financial decisions. But ultimately, you don't start progressing until you start making the mistakes and working out what you don't need to do. So if you're really considering, or you've got an opinion or you've got an option and you've got something you believe in, you just need to have a crack at it and start small. And then as you start understanding the concept, that's when you start pushing your kind of, putting more of your motivation into it. I think that's probably my one of the biggest lessons I found is that you just have to get on with it.
100%. I think it's the procrastination is the biggest thing I see for most people. And like, I think most people are almost perfectionists, and they're too worried about putting something out there and it might be a bit off or not 100%. Whereas I'm much more of the mindset of like, fuck it, I'll just put it out there and see what happens. Like, I'll just do it and then like see how we go from there, and I can adjust, and if it's not quite right or whatever, I can make adjustments. Where I think too many people procrastinate, sit on the fence.
I mean, I actually looked at a couple of things today recently that was to do with the first website I built for what has become Tough Wraps UK. And when I look over the coding and how it looks now, I just think, wow, you know. Like I released that to the public and, you know, you kind of take a second look at it and think, I wouldn't do anything with that now. But at the time, I was pretty pleased with it because it's your first go at coding, it's your first go at website design, and now you look at what you presented to the world and you think, you know, this is totally different. And the same goes with, I looked over a couple of old athlete contracts as well, and I was like, wow, you know, like, I got that totally wrong. And for what we do now with the professional athletes that we sponsor, and you just need to make some mistakes. And then
it's the best way to learn.
The eyes later.
Yes, it's the best way to learn 100%. Like, I think one of the best sayings as well, still sticks in my mind. My dad always said to me, is like someone he knew had like a big sign on his desk that just said, do it now. As like, if you ever think about doing something, just fucking just do it now and like get it overdone with. Rather than just like umming and ahhing, particularly like how fast paced the world is now. If you wait 6 months, like the opportunity to do it might not be there. Like genuinely for me and my business, if I had waited 12 months, I would have probably not made it through where social media had almost like evolved, if that makes sense. Like the organic reach has gone on Instagram, a lot of the social media platforms. So I wouldn't be able to build the reputation of following. I'm very fortunate and grateful to have. So I hadn't acted quickly, I would have missed the window of opportunity, as it were.
You know, do you know what I mean? It's like buying a house, isn't it? There's never a good time to buy a house. You just need to buy one when you need one.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the business. If you need to make a decision or you need to react, you just, as long as it's a, you know, as long as it's a calculated decision, you know,
you're not being reckless.
You know, off the cuff stuff is, you know, might work out every now and again, but as long as you've taken an educated approach to it, I think the chances are it's going to play in your favor.
100%. Now, that's a bit of our both quite extensive business history covered. Now, going back into like a slightly different topic, we briefly crossed then in terms of athlete sponsorships. And this is quite an interesting topic of conversation because every Tom, Dick and Harry on social media nowadays is crying out to get sponsored by companies. And I imagine you must have people pouring out to you constantly trying to get involved. And it'd be quite like an interesting debate to talk about what you guys would actually look for in terms of athletes and ambassadors and what values you look for in people to work with, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we get multiple people message us every day, whether it be on email, really? Socials. Yeah, every single day we get them. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I think it's a generic message that somebody has sent to multiple companies. And I wonder whether, I think a lot of people in this fitness industry, or if they've got a sporting directive, I think they feel like they want to be sponsored or need to be sponsored. But what was interesting for me was to actually have the conversation with someone about, you know, why do you feel you need to be sponsored? What do you think you're going to get out of it? If you see what I mean, and start the conversation that way, because obviously if you've got a lot of followers on social media, that can work for a company because, you know, you can just use people for promotion and they might get some kit out of it. Or I don't know if they may be on a retainer basis, or, you know, you might be able to pay them for certain sales, but is that actually the collaboration you want with someone, or do you want to strike up a friendship and a kind of business relationship where you can actually add value to each other? You know, what do you actually need to get out of it, and what can you actually give to us that's going to benefit us both really seriously?
No, I 100% agree with that. I think a lot of people sometimes don't quite understand, like they hear, so I don't know, XYZ gets paid $5,000 a month by a Gymshark, and that's their end goal, is to get paid that much by Gymshark. Whereas like, that's never been an ambition of mine. I couldn't give a shit about getting paid by XYZ company. Like, my opinion is make yourself great and make yourself your own business, and then you're in control of your own destiny. Because what happens if you're sponsored by Gymshark and then they drop you tomorrow? Holy shit, then you've got no income coming in. What do you do? You've got a problem. Whereas like, you're like, if you are your own business and your own brand, then that's not going to disappear overnight, essentially.
Absolutely. And that's a sensible thing to say as well, because you know, take Tiger Woods, for instance. You know, he was a very highly paid athlete. I mean, I don't know a lot about golf, but I'm guessing Nike or Adidas. And then he had all the problems in the social media and in the press, and all of a sudden his social value deteriorates overnight. It's like a stock or share falling off the market. So all of a sudden, Nike's investment into him isn't worth anything, because the person's credibility has disappeared. So if then you've got a relationship with someone who's adding value to your brand in multiple different ways, then all of a sudden you're not just relying on that person being in the limelight. They are bringing something else to you. We work with a couple of guys who compete in a strongman's league called the Strongman's Champions League. And the guys are pretty good, but they're certainly not the best in the world. But the contacts that they have bought us as a brand have been absolutely phenomenal. And the business relations we've set up because of that are also phenomenal. And they've helped us generate revenue in Europe. And, you know, we're now friends with them. We go out for dinner with them. And, you know, if we're away for the weekend, they don't really pay for anything. But there's not so much in their contract. It's just this, what can you do for them? And actually, people just want to feel valued.
Yeah, looked after.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can generate that as part of the relationship and a sponsorship, ultimately, people want to feel good about themselves. And even if there's a bit of financials in it, you know, that's one thing. But in terms of this, of the fitness industry, I really think that a lot of people are looking for, they're not really sure what they're looking for. I think they just want to feel like they're valued.
Be part of something.
Be part of something, yeah, you know. But ultimately, if you've got 20 people that just want to be part of your brand,
band?
Yeah, that'd be a really big band. What do they actually bring to the table other than 500 Instagram followers?
Yeah.
You know, you can't weigh it up on that. There has to be more to it.
100%. And like, so, that comes down to, like, in my opinion, one thing I say for everyone is that if you're, like, in terms of trying to bring value to, like, you as a brand and to just people generally, what you want to try and do is put out actual content and things to help people. So, like, if, for example, I was someone who wanted to try and work with you guys, I'd be trying to put out, say, like, strength training information and stuff that would be relevant to the products you sell. So, for example, how to maybe use certain lifting straps, tips on using belts, why you should use belts, and, like, things that are actually relevant to what it is that you guys do, as an example. And that would be a way to provide some sort of intrinsic value.
Absolutely. You know, like, understand what the brand is about that you'd like to be sponsored with, and work out how you can create value for them. So exactly like you said, you know, or if someone's got like a good blog or an interesting YouTube channel, maybe that person buys some straps off us, or maybe we give them some straps. But if you can get out of that a tutorial or what the best way to use them is, it doesn't matter if that person is not the strongest person in the world, but the media is... it works both ways. It works for that person who's got the straps, and it also works for us to be able to promote the product, but the person as well, because that goes hand in hand.
No, I agree 100%. And that's what, if anyone really switched on, should be thinking about instead of trying to work with any brand. Like, I'm very, very selective of who I want to work with, because it's more down to the people than the brand itself. Like, for example, I previously had a relationship with MyProtein, who are a massive brand. However, they're like a corporate part of, I'm trying not to swear, they're a corporate but it reminds me of like when I used to work in a state agency, and you can tell like a lot of telltale signs with things like that. For example, like the like athlete managers you'd work with, it would change like on a weekly basis almost.
High turnover.
Oh yeah, and you can just tell from the outside anymore with any mouse that like it's obviously not a pleasant place to work. It's not something I necessarily want to be associated with, hence why decided to move on from that. Like, that's why people buy people. So as well as you carry yourself as an individual on social media is very important. It's the same as how businesses carry themselves and like the people involved in them. Like, that's why I love working with you guys, because obviously a great friendship with you, Lauren, like you, we bounce off each other and share ideas, and you provide like tons of value to me with like advice as a friend rather than just like a business relationship, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I actually can compare this kind of athlete working relationship with something I experienced when I was traveling on the race team when I was being a mechanic. Before every race, when we were racing with Kevin Magnussen, he used to come around and speak. We'd all just chat to each other in the garage, and when he'd get out of the car, if he'd messed something up, there'd be a laugh. Or in the evening, you were sitting at the hotel having dinner, there'd always be a conversation. So the person you were working for to add as much value as possible made himself part of your life, so that you would just go the extra mile for him because you felt like you were valued. So it really does count across many platforms. That's
the key to people management. Like, that's what I used to do, you know, like in state agency. Like, I used to manage a fairly big team, like diverse, different people from what I'm naturally necessarily like. And like, the biggest thing I always say was like, be overly polite and go above and say like, please, thank you. And like, just be courteous about the way you go about asking for things. And it's still about like the same, the people who work for me now, I'd always rather overpay them and give them more than they're probably worth to, and like just do small gestures here and there, just because people then, as you said previously, will massively appreciate that. And then when you need them, we'll go above and beyond to get stuff done. If you need something done short notice or anything like that, the likelihood of them actually doing that for you then getting you out of the shit is a lot more than if you treat people like crap.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's been adopted in a lot of the dot-com industries at the moment, isn't it? I mean, Google are big on this, and a lot of the kind of high profile companies like that are in the spotlight, you know, they're understanding that people work best when they're at their most relaxed. And, you know, I know a lot of companies now are moving to 4-day weeks, but not necessarily a 4-day week as in Monday to Thursday. Their staff are working Monday, Tuesday, having a day off, and then working Thursday, Friday. So they only work 2 days in a row, and they only work for 10, they work for 10 hours a day. So, you know, they're doing their hours, but they get 5 days off in a, you know, every sort of cycle, if you see what I mean. And the productivity of these people is just kind of soaring. So if you're in these dot-com industries and you're working your people like that, the output can just be so heavily increased by the person being in a good place.
I mean, it makes complete logical sense when you think about it. Like, again, it comes down to human efficiency, the amount of like time that's wasted by people stuck in, not to say dead end jobs, but jobs they don't want to be in, like just like staring out the window almost, or like blankly into a computer, just killing time. If you think if all those people around the world were put into doing something productive, what could be achieved? It's crazy.
Absolutely, man. I think, you know, some of my most productive time recently has just been between the hours of 10 and midnight, because you're frantically trying to cram as much into that free time that you've got to develop the next part of the website, or try and launch the new product, or, you know, what my Facebook ads doing at the moment. And you're under time pressure, so you become effective in that respect when it's your own.
Obviously, you're an incredibly busy individual. Do you have any tips or strategies you use to stay on top of everything? Do you have any software systems? Do you write lists? Any tips for anyone?
So I started writing lists, but I'm not very good at lists because I lost all my lists, and that's real. So I'm afraid I'm not great at that. What I did get better at is I started using my Outlook calendar on my email software a lot more. And I actually use some workflow software called, I think I use Asana. And it just helps me detail everything I want to do. Because, you know, like yourself, I have a lot of ideas, I have a lot of notes, and I'll think of something Monday and forget it by Wednesday. But if I put it into my workflow software, it doesn't matter when I go back to it, my thought is still there. In terms of, you know, that's how I manage my ideas, I guess. But managing my time, I'm not going to lie, I struggle with it. And my other half, you know, you can ask her, she'll be the first to tell me that I need to throttle off and take some time out. But I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. So if anyone else has got any solutions for managing time, I'm all ears. But that's one thing I'm not great at.
Yeah, I think it's things you can't really
you've only got so many hours in the day and you've got so much work on, it just has to be done. It's the same thing. Like, I remember my mum came in when I was in, she lives in Spain. My family was Spain, I was over there with them at like 11 o'clock at night and I was still working my laptop. And she's like, it's too late for this, you need to be going to bed. And I was like, I sort of, not flipped out, but I was like, if I don't do this, who else is going to do it? Like,
yeah,
it just needs to be done. So it is what it is.
That is it. No one else is going to do it for you, you know? And that is one of the, I don't want to say hang up because it's one of the things that drives you. But it's one of the overheads that you always have when you're running your own business, is that ultimately it stops with you. So if you want it done, you know, I'm sorry to say it, you just got to do it, haven't you?
Yeah, success or failure is on your head. So you either live with a gloat with the glory or you've got with a shame that goes balls up and tits up.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Not that there is any shame with that, but like for me, I'd always prefer people went out and tried to do their own thing. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You can always go back to what you were doing before. Then if you live the life of what ifs, if that makes sense.
It's better to regret something you have done than to regret something you haven't done, isn't it? That's the saying.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of legs in that. I mean, when I took the opportunity to travel with McLaren, like I sacrificed a lot of stuff, you know, I really did. But when I look back on it now, that was 3 incredible years of my life. And the stories and the tales and the experiences, you can't buy them. You know, you have to live it. And if anyone said, would I not do it? I'm like, no way. I would have always done that.
And that's so, made you the person you are today.
Sorry?
That's made you the person you are today. It's an accumulation of experiences.
Of course it has, and later on in life when you're telling your stories and, you know, the most interesting thing when you're having a conversation with someone is a story, isn't it? And if you haven't got any stories to tell, I think it's really sad sometimes. Whereas if you're if you've got something, you can just rail off your chest and, this happened there and that happened there. And do you remember when we set up this company called Tough Wraps and what a bloody nightmare that was, but, you know, what an experience. Or in 5 years' time, you might be saying, look at how successful it was. And we're both working full time and actually we've got 10 members of staff, but the future is not written yet. And if you're going to, whatever story you've got to tell is depending.
Yeah, you've got the pen and the paper to write your own chapters as well.
That's it. That's a better way of saying it. you're more used to this than I am.
Just winging it off. But we'll start to wrap things up there then, James. So
okay,
more Tough Wraps. Have you got any more exciting new projects, products, anything else coming up in the pipeline?
Oh, man, where to start? we've committed to Body Power. So okay. We're going back to Body Power next year. We're going bigger again. We've got some more.
Is the Tough Wraps hammer going to be there again, the big Thor hammer?
Yeah, and we've potentially got another weapon coming with us next year. I won't disclose too much, but we've got the guys making it at the moment. And just, if we're allowed to shout anyone out on here, Rebel Strength.
Yeah.
Just for helping us out. So that, yeah, new weapon of strength coming next year. New athletes as well. We've also got some new products. We've got some new strength products coming out. We've got various weight sandbags for strength and conditioning.
Yeah.
So popular in strongman. Various weights going from 40 kilos up to about 120, I believe, with the big one. We might even go to 150. Couple of new belts.
Question for you with that big. How do you ship something like that?
What, the sandbag?
Yeah, if it's 150 kilos.
Empty, mate.
Oh, and they fill up sand. All right, I've just made a fool of myself on my own podcast.
It's okay, Charlie.
Moving on.
So, and a couple of new belts for much more focused around bodybuilding and physique with rather than our kind of power belts that are 4 inches, 4 inches tall, something that suits the kind of like physique competitor or kind of small waist that you find on the bodybuilders. And then we've also got a load more clothing. I can't begin to tell you how much clothing we've got, but loads of different styles, loads of new hoodies, all kinds of bits and pieces. I kind of lose track of it, to be fair.
That's awesome. I love the Tough Wraps clothing. The style is quite unique, which is something cool and different to see, because a lot of fitness clothing at the moment is a lot of it is very generic and the same, which is super frustrating when you see it.
Well, it's kind of nice because obviously Tough Rap's roots are from Miami. The people who started it, Jason and Sonia, you know, if anyone doesn't know, I actually bought into this company a few years ago. I didn't come up with it on my own. But we ship, you know, we have a lot of their styles from Miami. So we're getting a lot of these kind of like brighter teals and pinks and this kind of like retro themes coming over, which ultimately, you know, for Miami, it's always summer, isn't it? But I think we're seeing some more colours in the UK now, and I think people are kind of branching out from their greys and whites and blacks, which is nice to see.
100% agree with you with that. Now, for anyone to get in touch with you, James, not necessarily, please don't shout out everyone in the world to try and get sponsored by Tough Raps now, but anyone to find out about you guys, where's the best place to find you?
So our website is www.toughraps.co.uk. If you're in the UK or Europe, if you're in America, head over to toughraps.com, and our socials are very much the same. Instagram is at toughraps and at toughraps_UK. And you can pretty much follow all our progress on there. We don't hide much away. We've got a live story all the time and a pretty active feed. Websites are being updated all the time with bits and pieces. You might even see some photos of Charlie on it.
Floating around,
you know, being a physique guy like he is. But yeah, in amongst the big kind of strength stuff, we do a lot of physique stuff now. So it's nice to have the diversity.
Yes, it's good. It's a cool group of people. It's like, it's a pleasure to be involved with it. As I said to you before, it's just a nice group of people and it's a cool environment with everything going the right direction. So it's truly appreciated.
Nice to hear.
And again, thank you so much for being on the podcast tonight, James. I'm sure there'll be loads of insightful information for everyone. And I'm sure everyone, if you haven't already, head over to the Tough Raps website and check out some offer.
No, it was an absolute pleasure, Charlie. And thanks for taking the time to for a little bit of my ramblings. I'm sure we need to get together sooner or later, don't we? Probably been a little bit too long. So
100%. All right, we'll catch up soon, buddy.
Take care, pal.